heart today. Oh, ruler,
ruler of my heart today.
Oh,
Jesus, Lord, to me.
Jesus, we acknowledge you as the Lord and ruler of our hearts this day. We pray, Father, and thank you for your presence. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray that this morning you will pour grace and mercy in our direction. We pray for understanding. We pray for the opening of our eyes. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And we pray for cleansing from unrighteousness. We pray that the word, our encounter with the word of God, will be a washing and a cleansing of the heart and soul of the things that rob us of a full and complete experience of your power and your grace and your mercy. We pray against evil spirits this morning. Evil spirits that have attacked our minds, that have polluted and contaminated our spirits, in the name of Jesus. We bind them, Lord, and their influences in the name of Jesus. And we pray that there will be a release in our hearts. Cause your word to have a free course in the name of Jesus. Remove every kind of intimidation and any spirit that is not conducive to the proper reception of your word. Deliver us from pride. Bless us with the grace of humility, humble hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and also for our wonderful choir. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. And you may be seated. While we're doing that, can you, Akwesi, come and do this thing, please? Let's see. I thought it would look better if we move the curtains up to the screen. So let's try that and see if it works. So all of us, we're doing this together. When you think it should stop, tell him to stop. Okay, so keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Should he stop? A bit more. Okay, keep going. One hard one. Is it good enough? It's not good enough. It won't be in the center. This one has to move back a bit. Okay. So then it means it doesn't work. Okay. All right. So, because it didn't work, please. So, pull the whole thing back and thank you very much. Amen. All right. Now, we are still talking about building the church. Amen. And we are sharing about five things that destroy churches and that hurt our church building effort. Amen. And these are very important things that all of us should know about, you know, that all of us should learn about and be very cognizant with, so that we recognize them when they are happening among us and also when they are happening to us. Amen. And that's very, so that you can diagnose yourself, you know, and take the appropriate medication, then you don't have to see a doctor. Isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Miriam, Wow, I see that you are looking very, very, very shiny. It is too powerful. Oh, clap for them. Why, are you not happy for her? Yeah. So this is he who is to come. Her Messiah has arrived. Okay. So down the line somewhere in the service, I'm going to introduce him. Amen. We'll all get to meet him. Hallelujah. Right. So I'm sharing these things with you. And I'm saying that so it's for your learning so that you can be enlightened. Amen. They are called stages of disloyalty in the book Loyalty and Disloyalty, do you see? Now, I realize that it is one thing for these things to occur sequentially in one person. Do you see what I'm saying? Where a person moves from independent stage to being offended to being critical, etc. But I also realize especially that they are equally deadly and destructive to a building process, even when they occur randomly in different people. Do you see? Without any particular sequence. Do you see what I'm saying? And that is why we need to share with you these things so you understand. So the first one was the independent spirit, which we spent a long time talking about. And then last week we were talking about offense. Amen. We're talking about church offenses. And I was explaining how that church offenses occur on so many different levels, isn't it? And one level is a leader to member offense, where the leader is offended by the members or the group that he leads. Can be the pastor and the church, can be the choir leader and the choir, or an area fellowship, you know, or any group, the drama group and their leader. You know, if you say that everybody should practice their lines, and then after you spent a long time writing the things, and then when they get here, they've forgotten the name. The person is supposed to be saying Mary, and she's saying Charles. You see, and they're spoiling your whole thing. You can get upset. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Bonene didn't bring a microphone. So a very important line that you wanted to be heard, the line was not heard. And so at the end of the service, you don't even want to see Pastor Bonene's face. He should take the microphones, take them to his house. Hallelujah. So that's one level. Then another and very common level is the member-to-member level. Do you see? Where people are offended, you know. Different relationships that we have as members can create opportunity for offense. Do you get it? One of them is beloveds, you know, heart issues. Do you see what I mean? Heart issues, yeah. You like somebody who doesn't like you, or you like somebody who likes somebody else who likes somebody else. Do you see? I've seen that before, you know, where one person liked somebody who also liked somebody who didn't like him. Do you understand? So this one likes this one, and this one likes this one, and this one likes that one. If only they'll just turn around. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is another thing that causes hurts and offenses, and it makes people leave churches. Do you see what I'm saying? That you hear that the person you like is getting married to somebody else, you see, and you can't stand the whole thought. The whole experience is just so annoying, and in fact it seems to overcome you and take you over in a much stronger way than the word of God which brought you to the church. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want to see this. I don't want them to do this their thing in front of me. When we announce their wedding, you just You get it. So you're not happy. And then you see that people leave churches because of that. They're offended because somebody married their beloved, or, you know, it just gets complex. Amen. So I'm just saying that we must not allow such things to destroy what we are doing. What do you think? Is it a good idea? Yeah. Another common relationship which creates offense, member to member level, is debtor creditor relationships. Do you understand? Yeah. Because as we're in the church, you will find that another type of relationship that goes on, or that sort of develops or evolves in the church, is where people borrow things from people. Do you see? People borrow money from people, and then soon they realize they can't pay. Do you get it? Then when you can't pay, you feel like, if I go to church, this person will see me. Do you understand? So for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you have not been to church. And I think it has something to do with my preaching, not knowing that. You get it? It's $70 that you have borrowed from somebody that is robbing you of your membership. Do you get it? And then it creates problems that this person borrowed this from me and the person didn't pay, and now this is, I'm going to hijack his this. I'm going to, you know, it's a very fantastic something that happens in a church. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it should not be the case. Can I have an amen? Amen. And then other things, sometimes also people do business. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, people do business in the church. You see the thing? And then that also leads to another problem. I buy something from you. You know, I buy a car, or I buy, you know, whatever. Then the thing is not like it was supposed to be. You see the thing? Then I want to give it back to you, so you give me my money. And I also look at it and say, but you've used the thing. So I'm not going to take it back. You get it? Then all these kinds of things go on, and they create sometimes even factions in the church, and ends up trying to split and destroy the work that God is doing among us. Can I have an amen? So that is another one. Then another level is the level, let's call them family feuds. Do you see? That's another level of offenses where families are fighting and then they bring it to church. Do you see? Yeah. And when you have family feuds, you can have, sometimes it's between siblings. You get it? So siblings having issues. And then this one wants to stop, that one wants to stop, this one is offended by that one, and they feel that the pastor is on the side of this one, you know, and it's a very common thing also in church. Then you can also have marital versions of it. You get it? Where, you know, a couple has a problem, and because of that, one of them is going to leave the church because they think that the pastor is agreeing with the other one. You understand? And sometimes you don't even know what to say, because by all means, or often, when there is a situation, only three options are possible. One person is wrong, the husband may be wrong, or the wife may be wrong, or both of them may be wrong, or number four, nobody's wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But then the pastor says something or gives a counsel and says, you are wrong. And then the person just says to himself, hey, really? Now the pastor is agreeing with my husband. Okay, then that is it. It's because he's a man. That's a very common line. Yeah, it's because he's a man. That's why he's seeing it that way. If I had talked to his wife would have seen it differently. Now you want to bring a quarrel between my wife and I also. Do you understand? So that is another level of offense in a church that destroys and hurts churches. Can I have an amen? Amen. And it is something we must fight against. Hallelujah. And last week I was sharing with you, well, another one, another level is the member to the leader. Where now there's the member who is offended by the leader. And I think we talked about that also a lot last week. Hallelujah. Where members are offended by maybe the pastor's preaching or the pastor's rebuke or the pastor's counsel. And I explained to you last week how that the word of God, this place, one of the descriptions of the church, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of truth. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the ultimate place for experiencing the truth. Hallelujah. It is the pillar. And look at the words that are being used. A pillar. Pillar is symbolic of strength. Do you understand? And the ground is also symbolic of stability. Something that does not change. You get it? You can't fall below the ground. Do you see what I'm saying? That if you can fall from one place or fall from another place, all kinds of things up there may not hold you. But when you land on this one, it always holds you. Do you see what I'm saying? This one never fails. It always holds you. No matter how far you've come from where you've fallen, when you hit here, you stop. Have you observed that? If not, you can try it right now. You can just come and drop yourself from here and you will see that you will not fall below this place. Do you get it? So the ground represents stability. Do you understand? And so the word of God, the house of God, the church of God, the Bible says it is a pillar and it is a ground for truth. Amen. So it is not surprising that according to James chapter 1, verse 24, when we encounter the word of God, we have revelations of what manner of man you are. Isn't that what it says? We read that last week, isn't it? It says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you understand? It says that hearing the word of God or having an encounter with preaching is similar to looking at your face in a mirror, like those two people were doing in the sketch this morning. And looking at your face in the mirror, you have a revelation of what you look like. So in preaching in a church, if the preaching is right, if the church is right, if the word of God is being preached as it should preach, one of the common features and one of the common experiences you should have is a revelation of what manner of man or what manner of woman you are. Hallelujah. It is in the church that you may discover that you are very quarrelsome. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It is in the church and it is in the atmosphere of preaching that you may finally understand that I have not walked in love at all. Do you understand? It is in this atmosphere that we experience things. He says we have revelations of what manner of man you are. And then following that, the Bible says, what is in verse 25? The Bible says, if you look in the law of liberty, which is the word of God, and you go ahead not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, then it says you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. Why? Because you have had a revelation of what manner of man you are and you have gone ahead to fix it. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see that when people continue to come to church and they receive the word of God as they should, they just get better. Hallelujah. They just get better. Are there any people in the service this morning who can say that since you started coming to church regularly, you think that you have gotten better? Raise up your hand. Let me see. How many of you can think of things that you have, specific things you have overcome just by continuing to come to church? Raise up your hand. Let me see if there's anybody like that. Wow. That is very encouraging. It means the preaching is working and that I should continue preaching, isn't it? Right. So I'm going to go on to my next point. Bonsu. I haven't seen him in a long time.
But it's very, very powerful to see him. Amen. I think as the service was going on, he needed coffee, so he got it. Amen. Right. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. All of you are very, very important to us in this church. Amen. When you don't come to church, we feel it. You see, when we don't see you, we feel it. Do you get it? So tell your neighbor, to come often so they don't feel the bad feelings. Okay. All right. So it's powerful. Now, let me show you the Lord was showing me over the weekend another good example of, how people can get upset with the pastor. Do you get it? And it is the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. You see? So in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read, let's read it very quickly, and then I'm going to go on to one or two more things before we close. Amen. Say amen. Amen. All right. Now, 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Now, we read the story of a man called Naaman. Have you heard the name Naaman before? I don't think it's a name that modern people give to their babies, but maybe you can suggest it to Ohui and see. Perhaps not, because this Naaman, he's not a very good example in many ways, but in another sense, he's also a good example. So don't suggest it to Ohui. Give her a better name than that. Amen. Amen. Hey, by the way, she's not here this morning. Are we supposed to get alarmed or what? Okay. Somebody should find out where they are right after the service so we know if our thing has arrived or not. Amen. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Hallelujah. So it's amazing what things you can find combining themselves in a person. Do you see? Now, look at it. This guy is a great man with his master. He's honorable, and actually the Lord has used him to deliver a whole nation. Do you see? So this same man in whom you find greatness, you find honor, you find that the Lord is using him, and you find that he's a mighty man of valor, in him also you find leprosy. Is it not interesting? Yeah, that in this man also you find leprosy. So that's why you shouldn't be surprised that there is something wrong with you. Do you understand that in spite of all your beautiful credentials, that there you still need help? Don't you think so? You still need help. So in spite of all of these things, his greatness and everything, you need to recognize what your greatness cannot do for you. You need to be able to recognize what having a university degree has not been able to do for you. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to be able to recognize what having a green card, which is great, has not been able to do for you. Do you understand? Because every one of these components has what it yields. But it's very obvious that one of the things that is still missing in Naaman's life, in spite of such a colorful resume, is that he is still leprous. If you can understand it, say amen. Amen. And if you were to look in your life, you probably realize that in spite of this and that and that and that and that, there is a kind of leprosy. Do you understand? Leprosy is rottenness of the fingers. Do you understand? And you can see that in our lives and in different aspects and different ways and in different places, you know, we have rottenness. Do you understand? Sometimes you look at a very beautiful person, but you don't have an idea what kind of a temper hides in this beautiful body. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Unfortunately, when we choose people, you know, we don't choose them based on those kinds of things, because those are inner things that are hidden. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, during this, there's a rose flower in front of my house. And I observed something this week as I was stepping out of the house. It had a very beautiful, very, very beautiful, one of the flowers had sort of come out. Real beautiful one, you see. And so I decided to take a photo of it, do you see? But as I was doing that, look at it. Really nice, isn't it? Yeah. If you have something like this in front of your house, I think you like to enter the house often, you see. So I took different photos of the thing. Do you get it? Now, as I took the photos, you see, can everyone see it? Right. Now, from here, I started taking the photo from here. Then I went closer. Then I went closer. Then I went even closer. Now, can you see, you start to see the inside of the thing. Now, that part of it is not as pretty as the petals. Do you get it? So, as I went for that, now you see the real thing is over here. Right. So, I began to understand that sometimes, let's say when you're choosing a spouse or choosing a beloved. See, that is why people like to dress well, look good, and everything. Because the truth is that people are attracted to your looks. Do you understand? But the looks don't say anything about what is inside. Except that the way the mind works, the mind assumes that if it looks good, it must taste good. do you understand? That is how our minds work. It's even food is like that. Isn't it? You look at the food and you choose it based on how it looks. Then you go for it and you start to eat it. When you eat it, sometimes you walk away from something that looks very, very good. You understand what I'm saying? And I began to see that the bees, the petals have been made so bright and beautiful, and that is what draws the animals and the bees to it. But once the bee gets to it, it wants nectar. It doesn't want petals. Do you see? So you never see the bees sitting on the petals. When they come to it, you know, when they come to the plant, they actually go for the inside. And what determines whether they stay on it or not is what is inside, not how it looks. Do you see what I'm saying? So that is why sometimes you see a man is walking away from a very beautiful woman. And you ask, how can he do that to such a beautiful woman? You see, but you may not understand that she's just beautiful with no nectar. Do you understand? There is no sweetness inside. There is just a wild temper of a bomb. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, he's a nice, handsome man, really nice guy who is around, looks like he's great, drives a nice car and everything. But you don't understand why nobody can stay around him. Yeah, because he looks like he has a lot of money. But if you can get some to chop. Do you see the thing? If you can get some of that money to chop, then you will receive a crown of glory. Do you understand? It is so difficult, next to impossible. So you see, people can see a person will walk away, and then somebody who does not understand it will say that, you know, how can she do that? She had a fine man like that. You see, why is she walking away? You will not understand that there is more to a person than looking nice on the outside. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? What made me tell you that? What made me tell you that? So Naaman, he was like that. Now, read on very quickly. I wanted to show you this very quickly. So read on to the next place. Now, and, oh, Shegun. Okay, And the Syrians had gone by and had brought whatever. And then they brought a maid, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy." So now the lady is recommending a church to this Naaman. Do you understand? Because the lady comes from Israel. And she's been brought as a maid to work for Naaman's wife. And she was looking at the man's problem and she said, "You know, the way you are, there is a certain pastor or prophet in Samaria. I think that if you get a chance to see him, this man will be of very good help to you. He would recover him of his leprosy." And then somebody, verse 3, went to tell, and someone went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, unto thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Now, the little girl said, who is going to heal the man? The prophet. Do you get it? But there are some people who are so big in their shots, big shots, that, you see, that they do not want to recognize sometimes where the help comes from. Do you see? Because a little girl didn't say that there was help. Once you get into Syria, you're going to that place, you're going to get help. The little girl said, "There's a man of God in Samaria. That's who you need to go to." Then the king of Israel said, he wrote a letter, nothing to do with the man of God, just wrote to the president of the next country and said, "I'm sending my general to you, heal him." Do you see? So look at the president's reaction. Verse 7. "It came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God? Huh? Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." You see, he is bringing me problems. Do you understand? So it is at this point, then verse 8, that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent a message to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Hallelujah. So verse 9 says, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Then Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again unto thee and thou shalt be clean." You get it? Then verse 10 or 11, Naaman was wroth. Do you see? Do you understand what's wroth? Who has another version? Yes, Chichi, what's it saying over there? Naaman was angry, isn't it? He was angry, you know. And why was he angry? Read it. He was angry and went away saying, "Behold," give Chichi a microphone, "behold." "Behold, here is a microphone.
Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me."
So I thought that he would surely come out to me.
Uh-huh. "And stand and call upon the name of the Lord."
And stand and call upon the name of the Lord.
His God.
His God.
"And wave his hand."
And wave his hand.
"Over the place."
Over the place. Which place?
Over the place.
Which place?
Where he has leprosy.
Which place? The leprosy place. He wants the pastor to touch his leprosy. Hey!
Uh-huh. "And cure the leper."
And cure the leprosy.
Uh-huh. "And not Abner and
Haffa.
Haffa. The rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel.
That's right. Are there not better waters if it was a matter of go and swim? I have a swimming pool in my backyard.
Could I not wash in them and be clean?
Could I not wash in them and be clean? So what? What happened? Huh?
So he turned away.
He turned away.
Sorry. Yeah, so he turned and went away in rage.
He turned and went away in rage. Why don't you clap for Chichi? You can keep the microphone if you like. Hallelujah. So, can you see that this man is angry with the wrong person? Are you getting the picture? And he's angry because the way the pastor is going about the issue is not the way he thinks the pastor should go about the issue. Do you see what I'm saying? So this is another thing that makes people upset with the pastor. And do what the man did, which is to go away in rage. Are you getting the picture? Yeah, the man had a problem. He had come to see the pastor. Do you understand? As he came to see the pastor said, do this and do this and do that. And the man, as he was coming to see the pastor, he had his own idea of the kind of thing the pastor should say. Do you see? And what the pastor should do and how the pastor should approach the issue. And so when the pastor came, in fact, the pastor didn't even come out. The pastor sent a message to him, go and wash yourself. You get, and the guy was so offended. He said, is this about bathing? Do you get it? I mean, I've come to you with my problem. Now you are insulting me that I don't bath. You see, and the guy was very offended and upset. And he says, look, if it is about bathing, there are Abana and Pafa, rivers of Damascus in Syria, which are better than all the rivers of Israel. I could bath in them. If it was a bathing problem, I could have solved it before I came here. Hallelujah. So every one of us needs to beware of, you know, preconceived ideas and notions of how a pastor should go about his work. Are you getting the picture? And many times, the thing that should be done is as simple as obeying the word of God. Do you understand? Obey the word of God. The man of God said that, look, just go and do this, that, and that. And if you would obey it, he said the leprosy would go away. You'll be amazed how many things would go away by following very simple instructions. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, we always think that we need some deliverance. See, some people always have to go to some place. That is why you see sometimes prophets and pastors also doing fantastic things. I think I told you once about a prophet I heard about in Switzerland. He has to bath and collect the water and share it for the members to drink. Can you imagine that? My brother, what is your name, please? Paul, brother Paul. Yeah. Paul, can you imagine that as you come to church this morning, somebody bring me a cup. Bring me one of them. Yeah, bring me a cup with, you have coffee or whatever you have, put it inside the cup. As you come to church this morning, I am sharing as I was taking my shower this morning. I've collected the water and I've brought it to the church. It's blessed water. And that is how your fantastic marriage is going to work. See? Yeah. And then we'll be serving this water from the bathroom in my house, in the church. Yeah. You see, and you'll be surprised how many people fall victim to this kind of thing. Do you understand? And the reason is that most people are not willing to do the simple things that bring the breakthroughs they need. You will be surprised that even a simple thing like adding Tuesday service to your regiment. No, I'm definitely, it's not because I want you. He wants us to come to that. You see, you have a problem. But you think, you feel free. and think, I don't blame you. You have a mind that is working. So it should help you even understand what I'm saying. What did this man say? He said, go and bath. After you have, Shegun, back up to the place where you see the man. Naaman came with horses, his chariot. Do you understand? And then he came with a special letter from the president, only to be told by the pastor, go and bath. Do you understand that? Yeah. With so many things, look at it. And he brought even presents for the pastor, you see. And the pastor said, no, I'm not even coming out to see you. I just said, go and bath. And then Naaman asked the people, what did he say? Said, the guy said you should go and bath. He said, what are you talking about? He said, excuse me? What did he say? He said, go and bath. So now the person is very, very offended because he cannot see how he could travel all the way from his country and come into Israel to come and tell him, go and bath. He cannot believe that the deliverance is in something as simple, Magdalene, as another bath. No, I hope my message makes sense to you. Because you may not know that the secret actually is not in something so big. Do you understand? It's not in something so big. You see, the people couldn't believe it when they were told that the secret to overcoming Samson is a pair of scissors. You don't need a sword. You don't need a spear. You don't need a bomb. You don't need a gun. You just need a pair of scissors from your little child's school kit. And you can disable Samson. Because for him, all he needed was a haircut. They said, if you can take Samson to the barber, you win. Yeah, if you can get someone to cut his hair, the thing is over. This man who would go, the Bible says one time he went to chase a woman in some town. And then when the people heard that he had come to the town, they went to lock. In those days, the cities had a gate, like the gates to the city. And the people locked the gate and they said, now we've got Samson in town. Samson woke up in the morning and realized that the people have locked the gate. The Bible says he went and he took the gate and then he took the pillars together with the gate and carried the whole thing up to some mountain and he left it there and went home. I mean, this was the kind of strength the people were dealing with. Samson would beat them. One time they sent about 300 people against Samson. He took the jawbone of an ass that he found somewhere and he beat one man. He beat 300 people with this thing and killed all of them. So when they told them that this guy, the secret to overcoming him is a pair of scissors, that would have been hard to believe. Except that they believed it and did it. Do you see? And when they did it, they were surprised that the man who had been beating them was totally overcome. Because they believed in the simple step, cut his hair. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you may not know that, and I've seen it as I've been a pastor for so many years. I've seen people sometimes leave churches. Some people said that there's not enough prayer in that place. Somebody said there's not enough power. They just want, and so you drive pastors into performance of magic and gymnastics and gimmicks. Do you see? Because the word of God, as powerful as it is, often requires of us very simple things to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? That God often would require you to do something very, very simple. Because God knows that if he makes it very complex, you cannot do it anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, most of the things we cannot do. And even when we are told what to do, we cannot do. It's one thing telling somebody what to do. But I've come to understand as I've grown up that when you tell somebody what to do is one thing. Whether he can do what you should do is another thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you see people sometimes doing the wrong thing, don't be too judgmental, because it's not often due to a lack of knowledge of the right thing, but rather an inability to pursue the right thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. See, people smoking, it's not like it's news to them that they're about to get cancer. No. It's just how to stop. Do you see what I'm saying? They know it. It's how to stop. Many people don't have what it takes. Even when they show you what is right to do, you see that now coming by the strength that makes you stop or to start doing what you must do is also another thing. Hallelujah. That is why in Philippians 2:13, God does not only give us the willingness to do it, but he also gives us the ability to do it. The Bible says it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Can I have an amen? Amen. So back to that scripture, back to the thing. The person is offended by the pastor. Do you see? And he should not be offended. He's offended by the wrong person. This is the last person you should be angry at. Hallelujah. And so he left in rage and left the place, according to verse 11 that told us that he left the place in and went away in rage. Do you see? Then the next one, look at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake to him. And they said to him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Can you see that? Chichi, do you still have the microphone? Yeah, read that part to us. Verse 13. Read it like a preacher. Okay.
But his servants came near and said to him.
His servants came near and said to him.
Uh-huh. My father.
My father.
Uh-huh. It is a great word the prophet has spoken to you.
Uh-huh.
Will you not do it?
Uh-huh.
Has he actually said to you, wash and be cleaned? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child.
Wow. Can you believe that what stands between you and the flesh and skin like a little child is this thing you have against the pastor? That's what stands between you and having skin like that of a little child. Where's Simon? Let's look at his skin. Somebody bring Simon from his church. Of course, you go and bring Simon. Yeah. Bring Simon from his church to come into the place. You know that the skin of a little child is different from a skin of a... That's why children don't wear makeup. Because as you grow, you start to see that your skin needs help. It needs external assistance. Is it not true? But little children don't need that. God wants to give this man the skin of a little child. God wants to bless this man with skin like a little child. And the only thing that's standing between him and that skin is how he feels about the pastor. Bring Simon. Yeah. I just love this boy. Yeah. Simon, can you show us your skin? Do you know skin? Do you know skin?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay, that's skin. Okay, okay. All right. But can I have it back? See, look at his skin. You see, so juicy. You and soft and fresh. Look at it. Akwesi, can you see?
Yeah.
God wanted to give Naaman skin like this. But how he felt about something the pastor said, which he can't get over. He felt that the pastor has oversimplified his issue. Yeah, sit here with him. We haven't finished. Yeah. Or was he preaching? Maybe you're interrupting his sermon. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Do you see? So when you pick the pastor as the person you are offended at, you've picked the wrong person. Do you understand? You've picked the wrong person. Now, does that mean the pastor cannot do something wrong? He can. But when you respond to the pastor that way, you've picked the wrong target. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, I can't believe that this man was going away. He came this close to his healing. He came this close to his deliverance. Do you understand? And some simple people around him, they could tell. They just couldn't understand. They said, look, we've been with you. We've seen you do harder things. That's how come they talked to him that way. They said that if the man had told you to do a harder thing, would you not have done it? Because we know you. We know the bath water you have drunk. We know that the struggles you have done on the beach, you know, the holy water, the candles you have burnt, you know. He said, one time you burnt down your room. Have you forgotten you burnt the whole house down? Because this man said you should light 21 candles. And you did. No, you fell asleep and this whole thing came down. You remember? The man said, give me your car. And you gave it to him. And the leprosy didn't go away. And I've heard all kinds of stories of people and the things they're willing to do. Do you understand? In the name of, I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. I want to have a baby. You know, I want to be able to sleep at night. Do you understand? I want what? Money. I want money. I want to be able to have money. Do you understand? You want to have money? God has shown us how to have money. Do you understand? He said that bring ye all the tithe to the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and bless you. Do you understand? You are prepared to go and give to someone something that is much more than your tithe. Something that is way much more than your tithe. But it feels better to give that. Do you understand? So that you can have money. So you can. When the Lord has given us a simple formula, one of the things the Lord has said, he said, give. You can't be a person who receives if you don't give. The Bible says it's more blessed to be a giver than a receiver. I'm not just talking about giving to the church, but just give. Some of us are, we are too close-fisted even to receive anything. I mean, your hands are closed in self-defense. Self-defense meaning that you don't want to lose anything. And you've clenched your fist so tight that even the one who wants to put something in it also doesn't have access. So you may not realize that being so closed-fisted is also the reason why you don't have anything. The fact that you don't give anything to anybody is the reason why your hands are never open enough for anybody to put anything in. Hallelujah. Amen. Is my message making sense this morning? Hallelujah. So God is speaking to us this morning. We are talking about offense and so on. But God is also giving us a revelation this morning about the fact that a lot of things that he requires of us are really much simpler than you think. Are you getting what I'm saying? And instead of getting angry and overreacting to something you don't like. Do you get it? The pastor was preaching and he mentioned your name in the church. So you are angry. But what about what you were saying when he mentioned your name? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, what about what he was saying? Maybe if you would take that and focus on that rather than the fact that he mentioned your name. That might be a doorway to a breakthrough and a blessing that would change your life. Say amen. Amen. How many understand the message? Do you understand the message? Yeah. So look at it. The people told him that you should just go back and do it. Because if they had asked you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean. Just go and bath, please. Sir, go and bath. Here's some soap. You know, so in his pride, verse 14, he went down, then he dipped himself 7 times. See, and that's the other thing. Now, according to this verse, if Naaman stopped at 5, he has tried, but he wouldn't experience it. Do you see what I'm saying? According to what we're reading, if Naaman had gone to dip himself, he dipped himself 1, 2, 3, 4, and stopped. Naaman would not have experienced it, and it would look like what the man of God said is not true. Because the other thing, revelation in this thing, is that often we're doing sometimes the right thing, but not doing it long enough to get the results. Do you see what I'm saying? Not doing it often enough to get the result. Not doing it consistently enough to get the promised result. So we've done some of it, you know, and you hear people say, oh, but I've prayed. Yeah, you prayed the last time you prayed, long time ago. Do you understand? Uh-huh. And now you have not experienced the thing because some things respond to, you have to do it for some time. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to do it for some time. You have to keep doing the thing and keep working it and keep working it until the thing starts to release what it is supposed to release into your life. Hallelujah. And so this man did it 7 times. I can imagine how by the 3rd time he said, look, this nonsense, I've stopped. Then he got out of the water. And then one person went to him and said, sir, I beg, the soup is not finished. There's more. Please, just go back in there. Then he goes in and he says, I'm going to try 2 more times. Then he goes to do number 4 and number 5. And he says he's had it. So the people rest a little while and say, you try number 6. Then he makes the sign of the cross and he says, as for after number 7, this is the last one. If it doesn't happen, does it? And then when he goes into the place, he's surprised that when he comes out the 7th time, his healing has occurred. He now has, he's starting life again. You get it? With Simon's kind of skin. Do you get it? Juicy and fresh and young. Do you get it? No pimples. Have you seen pimples on Simon's face before? No. Doesn't have pimples. Are you getting it? And he was clean. So now look at him, verse 15. Now, when he returned to the man of God, with all his company, he came and stood before him and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. He said, please take a present from your servant now. Do you see? And then verse 16, but he said, as the Lord lives, whom before whom I stand, I will take nothing. I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Do you see? And verse 17 says, Naaman said, if not, then please let your servant at least be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he offer sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. He's converted, and he's saying, wow, what an experience that humility and forgiving the pastor has brought to me. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that the fact that I let it go. It's true that the pastor, you'll be amazed. One time somebody was upset with me. He said that when it was his child's birthday and I prayed, I didn't pray the same type of intense prayers that I prayed for somebody else's child. Do you see the thing? Yeah, and the person was upset. It's like we're all in the church. When they are praying for others, they pray for some with strength and then others. You see, this is what makes a pastor start to shake when he's praying. You get it? You won't understand. He's saving his members. You get it? You think it's the spirit, but it's the pastor has to shake. Because if he doesn't shake, you're going to get upset. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So if the pastor forgets your birthday, forgive him. Amen. If the pastor mentions your name in the preaching, forgive him. Do you understand? Yeah. If the pastor does not come to your party, forgive him. Do you understand? Yeah. Or if he comes to your party and does not eat, forgive him. Do you understand? Yeah. If the pastor eats and he eats too much, forgive him. One day, a long time ago, I went to visit somebody. And the lady, myself and Bishop Richard, we went to visit somebody. We were just brand new pastors. And we had gone to visit one of our church members. And then the church member, who was a lady, she brought a duck. Roasted duck, a full one. And she said, we should eat. It was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. So we started to cut the duck. And we began to eat the thing. And she was edging us on. So, eat. And the thing was nice. So we're eating the thing. Not knowing that even the duck she offered us, she didn't cook it. Her husband cooked the duck and had stepped outside for a little bit, was coming back, and her pastors came to visit her. And she served the duck to the pastors, who also ate all of the duck. Hey! And the husband was not a church member. So he didn't have the same softness and tenderness towards these pastors. It's like, who are these pastors who dare come and eat my duck? So like a few days after, we heard that there was a serious beast in the house. You know, a serious quarrel in the house. And then when we investigated, we found out that it had to do with the duck. Can you believe it? We found out that it was the duck. The man came home very, very upset. And he said, look, if you're even going to give them the duck, at least leave some for me. But you give them the whole duck to your pastors. You see, and in those days, we didn't look anything like pastors. We were like boys. You just imagine. Joel, can you stand up? Imagine that they said, this guy has come to eat your duck. You know, and I think I was even slimmer and smaller than him. My waist size was like 26. The only thing we had was a few scriptures we knew, and they said we are pastors. You know, the church had just started. It was just a handful of people, you know, and we had used this our body to go and eat somebody's duck. At least now, if I eat your duck, at least if you come and you see my pot belly, at least you will see that it's a real pastor who had the duck. But back then, it looked like some fake crooks have come into the house, calling themselves pastors, and have come to eat the duck. Hallelujah. So if I ever eat your duck, forgive me. Do you have duck meat in your house? Hallelujah. It's so important for you to have a good relationship with your pastor, because through him, God is going to bring many blessings into your life. Can I have an amen? Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. After service, we'll be sharing bath water. So all of you who need different deliverance and have healings and solutions, I have bath water over here for you. You see, hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Right. I want you to see, I saw this photograph that I think it's ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me. Hallelujah. You see, somebody, I don't know, I think it was my wife who had this picture. And a certain pastor has put down his price list. He said, Local vision is 3,500. Global vision is $50. Problem research is 3,000. The worst one, local demon. That's if the demon that's chasing you, if it's a local one, that one is 4,000. But if it's a foreign demon, then it is even dollars, $50. Because the HIV positive is 100,000 and HIV negative is 50,000. I don't understand how that one works. Then personal demon is 10,000. Do you see? Because sometimes the demon is following the whole family. And then other times the demon has singled you out. Do you understand? And then Peking, if you want to have a child, that one is very expensive. 100,000. You see? And it says MasterCard and ATM card accepted. Yeah. Do you see? But we say local demon, and you have to go and pay a certain amount to a pastor. When we say Tuesday morning, wake up and pray for 1 hour, do you know how many evil spirits that's going to remove from your life? Do you understand? But you won't do that. But you want to pay for the local demon and the international spirit. Hallelujah. So right now, I want you to bow your heads and I want you to pray and tell the Lord and make that commitment. Say, Lord, I make this commitment to you that I will not take the simple things for granted anymore. And Lord, I will not hold grudges against the pastors in the church, against the men of God in my life, against the bishops that you have given me. There are some of you who have things even in your heart against Bishop Doug, who is not even here, and through whom you have everything that you have. Just pray in your heart today and just say, Lord, please help me not to pick the wrong target. Help me not to fight with the wrong person in the name of Jesus. Everybody lift up your hand to the Lord and start praying. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Maka sokotoria la babaya. Misoroborobo shandaria la babaya mokandaria. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Makafara babaya. Makafanoro mushonoro sokokamori moshandaria masataria. In the name of Jesus. Deliver us from the spirits that fight us and that seek to come between us and our pastors and the people that you have provided for us, through whom we connect to your grace and through whom we connect to your provision and through whom we connect to your anointing, in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from having the wrong relationships with such people, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bind every evil spirit that has been released to attack every strategic relationship, in the name of Jesus. That has been released to attack every relationship that is important to us, in the name of Jesus. We curse that spirit in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that there will be a flow on every level, between families, between siblings, between friends, between colleagues, between beloveds, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, against the spirit that fights and attacks our relationships, in the name of Jesus. We pray that there will be love in our church. We pray that we will walk in love, in the name of Jesus. That we will walk in forgiveness, and we will walk in acceptance of one another, understanding one another, making excuses for one another, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord today. Jesus.